Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Julie Gowans.
Great to see you. Great to be here. Isn't it awesome to be in the house of Jesus? Amen. Amen. No place I'd rather be. Well, we are going to talk this morning about passing the test. We're going to talk about passing the test. It's really exciting, isn't it? So this Friday night, two nights ago, our second daughter, Olivia, who many of you may not know because she's not on the platform often, but you do know her if you have little people, because she is always serving every week in either the nursery, the pre-K, or B kids. She's like the little Pied Piper. All the little children love her, and she loves them. She's amazing and gifted, and this past Friday night, she graduated from Valley Christian High School with honors. We are super proud. How many of you know that when you graduate high school, you've been through probably at least 13 years of school, right? From kindergarten through 12th grade. And in those 13 years, you are offered a lot of tests. Hundreds of tests she's taken, most of which she passed. I mean, I'm sure she bombed a few along the way, a little quiz here, a little quiz there. But in order to get an over 4.0 GPA, she passed and excelled in a lot of tests. Amen? And we're excited because that has paid off her learning. She's going to be attending Regent University in Virginia Beach starting in August. So we are super excited for her next season that Jesus has for her. But how many of you know that a lot of times we waste our tests. We waste our trials. We have opportunities. There's a conversation. We have a bad attitude. We fail the test. Somebody asked us to lay our life down, serve in a certain way. Hey, will you do this for me? Could you take care of that? Actually, no, that's really out of the way for me. I don't have time for that, and I'm not willing to lay my life down. So, nope, can't help you. Fail the test. Right? Conflict in relationships. We just have opportunities for tests often, and sadly, too often, we waste those opportunities and we fail tests. There's a show called Hoarders, if any of you have ever seen it, and it's where people live in basically waste. And maybe you don't live physically in that environment, but maybe in other ways you do. Because you've wasted this opportunity and this opportunity. You've wasted this emotion and gotten so stirred up and so upset about something that has no eternal value. And then there's a wasted emotion and there's wasted thoughts. There's wasted time. Waste, waste, waste. How much waste is in any of our lives? I'm reading a book right now called Limitless by the author. His name is Jim Quick. He's a brain coach. And he talks about these digital villains that come to waste our lives, waste our brains, and rob us from fulfilling our destiny. He's not a Christian man, so I was going to say our destiny in God. I'm adding that in. But from feeling what God has called us to do. These digital villains are digital deluge. It's just too much information. Digital distraction. We know what that's like. Another notification. Another one. Digital dementia. We don't have to think anymore. We don't have to remember things anymore because our digital devices do it for us. Digital deduction. where I don't really have to have an opinion, where we used to have to think through, what's my opinion on things? I can just get this person's blog and this person's advice and listen over here, and they can think for me. And then he ultimately, in the latter part of the book, he talks about digital depression. How have you lately looked on your devices for your screen time? You know there's an app, there's a little place for that under settings. You can see how much screen time you've had this week. And then it's broken down in how much time you've played on your video games, how much time social media, how much of your texts, how much things that were productive and how many things were not. Really quiet in here right now. Why are you so quiet? I'm just getting started. Whoa. Buckle. Have you put limits on certain apps? Are you constantly distracted and pulled from here to there with different notifications? Do you actually use the do not disturb little feature to your advantage? Fire can cook our food and it can also burn our house down. We have the opportunity to choose to make decisions on how our digital devices will benefit and further us into our destiny in God or rob us and steal from us and keep us held back. There's a company called Waste Management. Anybody use their services every week? I'm thinking maybe we need to implement some more waste management in other areas of our lives. Now, I don't like being late, and any of you that know me well know that that's an enormous understatement. I despise with every fiber of my being late. Okay, that is an accurate statement. My mom raised us that 30 minutes early was on time. It wasn't early. 30 minutes early was on time. And so that's just in the fiber of my being. That's how I was raised. And so recently, a handful of weeks ago, most of you know, if you haven't been under a rock, know that Mike had a back injury and a surgery, right? And so since then, he's moving a little bit slower than he normally is. Normally, he's like one speed, it's full throttle, and that's how he lives life. But with this injury and healing process, it slowed him down. And so on this particular morning, he and I've had to drive him a lot as well. And so we had a leaders meeting scheduled, a meeting with leaders, and he was running late. Not throwing him under the bus. He's just moving slower, okay? Moving slower. And so on this particular morning, we're like 20 minutes late to meet a group of leaders. So, exactly! You feel me! Yes! You are my people. We need to meet. So here we go. We're ready. We're in the car. We're driving to the church to meet leaders. And I'm feeling all this anxiety going on the inside of me. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? And I didn't, by the grace of God, there was no conflict. I did not attack him by the grace of God. So that was good. I passed that test. Check, right? But I'm feeling all this anxiety inside. And I said, Lord, what in the world is going on? What is happening on the inside of me? And let me tell you, if you just ask the Lord, he'll tell you. He'll speak. He does speak. And he was very kind that morning to me. And he said, Julie, you believe, your belief system is that if you are early to greet everyone, welcome them as they're coming in, that your leaders will think you're a good leader because you're there early and greeting and welcoming them. And if you're late, which you are, then they're going to judge you as being a bad leader. And I said, Jesus, forgive me. And I just started repenting. He's my witness out loud. I am repenting in the car. I mean, deep repenting, Lord, forgive me. He said, it's a spirit of performance. And I said, Lord, forgive me of performance. I break it off in Jesus' name. Forgive me of people pleasing. And I repent, break it off. And I broke off a spirit of shame because shame was trying to come on me saying you are a bad leader. And I just broke that off in Jesus' name. And by the grace of God, that morning, I was offered that test so that I could say yes and pass the test to grow, to have be a little more free in my life. God is that good. Amen. I believe we have opportunities to pass tests, multiple tests, every single day of our lives. It's just not, and sure, some of them are itty bitty, and some of them are average, and some of them are enormous. But every day of our lives, we have multiple tests that are offered to us. Do we waste them or do we embrace them? God wants us to embrace them. Every test, my friend, is because this God of this Bible says, I love you so much, I'm not going to let you stay where you are. I want you to look more like me today. And tomorrow I'm going to give you multiple opportunities to look more like Jesus too. And then the next day I'm going to do it too. But how many times do we kick and scream and flail and throw our toddler tantrums on the floor and fail test after test after test after test? Hey, I've been that flailing tantrum toddler on the floor. It's embarrassing. But we do it. And it doesn't matter if you're 2 or 20 or 82 or 102. We do that. And God doesn't want that for us. He wants us to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus. And that's why we get opportunity after opportunity for this test, and this test, and this test, and yet another. Because he's good and he loves us. And that is a true statement. But just like my Olivia, she had to first pass kindergarten before she could move to first grade. And then she passed first grade before she moved to second, and so on. And with each year, the exams, the quizzes, the tests got a little harder, got a little more difficult. God's called us to mature, my friends. We're not called to continue to live as infants, needing people to feed us. And these tests are opportunities for us to embrace so that we can grow and mature in Him. So we're in this series, this sermon series called Forward. I have loved every single bit of it up to this point. So today, I'm going to contrast a people who are given a test, tests, plural, over and over and over and over and over again, and they failed time and time and time and time again. And I'm going to contrast this people with a man of faith, a man who believed this word. He believed God. He believed the promise that God spoke in the midst of living with a people that grumbled and complained and had a critical spirit and were crazy. Anybody have any crazies in their life you're living with? Don't raise your hand. But this man, living in the midst of these people, these millions of people, stood on God's promises and inherited his destiny. Let that be us. Amen. Father, we love you today. We want more of you. We want your revelation. We want your help. We want your hope. We want your guidance. We want your leading. And Lord, we want to be people that say yes to the tests, that surrender daily, because we know they're good, because you're good. Everything about you is good. You promised you would withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly. And we thank you for what the tests produce in us when we say yes and surrender. So we thank you today for opening our ears. We're leaning in, Jesus, to hear your voice. So we thank you that you'll speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so we're going to be in the Bible a little bit today. I've got three passages. If you're taking notes, leaders take notes. Just a little hint there. Numbers 13 and 14. That's one scripture passage. I'm kidding. Love me anyway. Deuteronomy chapter 1 is another passage. And Joshua 14 is the third passage that we're going to look at today. So our first passage, this is like, I wanted to use my real Bible today and not type out my scriptures. So we're going to read Numbers chapter 13 through 14:1. I might skip a few verses, but stay with me here, okay? This is when Moses sent out the spies according to the Lord's command. So the Lord spoke to Moses and he said, verse 2, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. Can you say that with me? Which I am giving to the children of Israel. Say it again. Which I am giving to the children of Israel. Has God given you any promises? Yes. Has God given you an inheritance? Yes. The answer is yes to both of those. Yes, he has. He's giving a destiny, a call, a purpose for your very life. Just like he gave the children of Israel. Send men to spy out that land, which I'm giving you. Pick 12 men, from one from each tribe, verse 17. So Moses, he did that, and then he sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. And he said to them, go up this way into the south, and go up to the mountains, and see what the land is like. Whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage. Oh, and by the way, bring some fruit back from that land. They went up, I'm going to paraphrase, they went and they saw some giants in that land. Verse 23, they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there they cut down a branch. They cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. One cluster of grapes. That normally can fit into our hand, right? A big one, too. But they cut down one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. That's outrageous. Grapes are one of my favorite fruits, if not my favorite fruit. I eat them almost every day. I love them. And this is heaven to me, this picture right here. A cluster of grapes that is so enormous that two people have to carry it on a pole. Do you know what that tells me? Do you know what that signifies? The land is rich. Your inheritance, your destiny, it's rich in Jesus. He's got rich fruit for you. He's got amazing fruit for you in your life. They returned from spying out the land after 40 days. They departed, came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel. And then they brought back the word to them. 27. They told them and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, and here is where it starts to go bad. God said it. I'm giving you this land. Now go spy it out. That should have been enough. God said it. But then you go and you spy it out and you see the richness of this land and all that it can produce for you. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. Fear. The cities are fortified and very large. Doubt. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there, the giants. Unbelief. They're just destroyed right now. Fear, unbelief, anxiety, paralyzing them right now. Verse 29, the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. So you've got the Amalekites, all the ites, all the enemies. These are all your enemies, my friends. They're everywhere. They're in the land of the south. They dwell in the mountains. They're by the sea. They're along the banks of the Jordan. Your enemies that are designed and assigned for you and your inheritance, your destiny, your calling, they're all around you. Did you see that? They're everywhere. They couldn't escape. Everywhere they looked, everywhere that they could see with their eyes. Oh, they're down here. They're up here. They're by the river. They're by here. Oh, they're everywhere. That's where our enemies are. We choose to look at our enemies. Then Caleb, our man of faith, here he is. Enter the man of faith, the cape's on. The mask is on his face. I don't know, he's getting ready to fly. Here he is. He enters the scene in the midst of all this fear, all this doubt, all this unbelief, this tormenting, paralyzing fear. Caleb quieted the people before Moses, he said, and he said, "Let's go." My son says that all the time. He's the cutest. I love my son. You know that. He's like, "Let's go, Mom. Let's go." Anytime something's exciting, somebody wins. The team he likes right now are the Miami Heat. That's who he's rooting for. He's like, "Let's go." Every time they win. This is Caleb. He's like, "Let's go. Come on. Let's go. Let's go up and let's take possession of the land. For we are well able to overcome it. We have the power to overcome it. We have the capacity. We have the capacity to succeed and to win." Verse 31, but the men who'd gone up with him, the 10 other spies, said, "No, we're not. We're not able. No way, Caleb. Uh-uh. No, mm-mm. We are not able to go up against the people. They're stronger than we are." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they'd spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants." And our enemies want to devour us, my friends. That's the assignment of all of your enemies against your life and your destiny. They want to devour you. "The land that devours its inhabitants and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." Verse chapter 14, verse 1. So what happened? So all the congregation of Israel lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept. They were just like, "We're done." And they just cried. They gave in. We're going to talk about three ways in order to pass tests. Number one, in order to pass tests, you have to listen to the right voices. You must. It is imperative. Your very life depends, and I'm not being dramatic, your very life depends on you listening to the right voice. In school, the teacher's voice is the most important voice for that class. Would you agree? If you want to pass this class, then that teacher's voice is the most important voice that you hear and listen to so that you succeed in passing that class. They're the ones that are going to give you the assignments. They're the ones that are going to give the lectures. They're the ones giving out the reading assignments. They're the ones going over things in class that you've studied and prepared. They're the ones that are going to tell you when the test is so that you come prepared. They're going to maybe give you a study guide or give you a heads up. Hey, study these chapters because that's what the test is going to cover. That voice, the teacher's voice, is the most important voice. Who's our teacher? Come on, Holy Spirit. He's our teacher. He's our teacher. He lives on the end. If you've said yes to Jesus, he lives on the very inside of you. So do you know what that means? That means at any point of any given day, of for the rest of your life, you have the Holy Spirit, your perfect teacher. He never misses a question. He never fails a test. He never has a wrong answer. Never! And he lives in us. Jesus said, I gotta go so he can come. And he lives in us. And so at any point of any given day, you can just say, help. I need you. What do I do next? How do I navigate this? What do I say here? Help me, Holy Spirit, speak now. He speaks, my friends. Yes. He has a voice and he speaks. But he's a gentleman. He doesn't overpower himself. He doesn't go where he's not wanted, where he's not invited. We have a mouth to ask, to cry out for help, to lean in and to listen to his voice. When I was, let me say this first. The Israelites chose to listen to the voices of the 10 spies who were filled with fear, doubt, and unbelief instead of the voice of the Lord, who, remember, in verse 2 of chapter 13, the Lord said, go spy out the land that I'm giving you. Could it be any more clear? It was your land and you're going to get it? It's what he said. So they didn't listen to the Lord's voice, and then they didn't listen to Caleb. He came along and he's trying to bolster their faith. Come on, guys. I know they're saying this, but listen. Come on. We got this. Several weeks ago, I heard a quote from Pastor Bill Johnson, and it wrecked me in the most wonderful way. And I have quoted it. I have prayed it. I have declared it. I have meditated on it. I have woken up in the middle of the night saying it, and I'm giving it to you today, and maybe it'll save your life like it saved mine. And he said this, the challenge with our faith, it's on the screen, isn't our inability to hear God's voice. The challenge is our willingness to listen to all these other voices. It's not that we can't hear God. That's not the problem. The problem is we are too willing to say, oh yeah, I'll listen to you. Oh yeah, yeah, fear, come on in. Oh, anxiety, overwhelm me, please. Come on, I need you to overwhelm me now. Torment, just come on and have your way. Just come on. We are too willing, my friends. We are too willing to just open up our ears and say, come on in to all these other voices. And it poisons the seed. It poisons the seed of the perfect, true word of God that he's given and that he's deposited into our souls, into our lives, into our destinies. And we just say, come on in and pollute this pure seed of the word by listening to these other voices. In school, I graduated from Belmont University with a music degree. I majored in vocal performance. And in my latter years, it was an advanced course. I had it for a couple of years. It's called ear training. It's exactly what it says it is. It's training your ear. No matter how, where you are musically, you can take your ear to the next level. Just like with any kind of a skill. I love those classes because you trained your ears to hear what you couldn't hear before. It took a lot of work. It took a lot of practice. It took a lot of time. It took a lot of focus. It took a lot of energy. But I was able to develop my ear and I could hear things in music that I couldn't hear before. I could recognize things. Now I'm out and about. Oh, yeah, I know what that is. That's a major fifth. Da, 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 da. Oh, I know what that chord is. And I don't have perfect pitch, but I can tell you what they are because I've trained my ear, because I've spent time working, studying, preparing. And that's the same with you and me. It's a part of God calling us up to maturity, is learning to lay out, leave out, push out all the other voices. all the other distractions, your to-do lists, all the things that you think are so important. And let me tell you, at the end of your life, they're not going to mean anything because they have no eternal value on them. And yet we put all this effort and all this energy and we waste our time and we waste our life and our creativity on things that don't even matter. And I'll tell you, when you get a report that said you've got so many days or weeks or months to live, sadly, that's when people start fixing up their lives and living intentionally and living purposefully. But it should not be so with us as believers. We should be waking up every day and, Jesus, what do you have for me today? Amen. What are we going to do today? How am I going to love people today? What can I do for you? How can I sow my life for you? I have ears to hear. You know how I battle other voices? Because I hear a lot of other voices. That sounds crazy, doesn't it? Woo! Maybe she should leave. I can be a little crazy, so I'm not saying that I can't be. But you know what I'm saying. We all hear the crazy voices. We're bombarded by the enemy.
That's right.
You know how I battle voices? One of the ways, I'm going to tell you a few, because we need some help in battling voices, don't we? Silencing the voice of the enemy. One of the ways I do is I put myself in what I call a faith cocoon. What's a faith cocoon? A faith cocoon is when you are in a battle, and it's a big battle. These are the big battles that want to take you out. Those are the big assignments where all of you feel like all of hell is against you. I wrap myself in a little faith cocoon. I surround myself with people of God, people of faith, who I know, they know this word, they stand on this word, they will not be moved by anything other than this word. And I wrap my life, I wrap them around my life, what I call this faith cocoon. I first did it for the first time 21 years ago. We had lost our first baby, and after a couple years of trying, we got pregnant with our oldest, Isabella. And I'm in my first trimester going along, and I start spotting. And I felt like every demon of fear in hell was assigned to me at that moment. We're going to take this baby too. We're going to take this baby too. She's not going to live. And so what did I do? That was the first time I wrapped myself in a faith cocoon. I only shared the trial. I only shared the battle with people who had faith and that would respond in faith when I told them and that would stand with me in faith and lift up my arms and speak faith and believe faith over me. Are you kidding? I'm not going to let people that are, oh, well, maybe it's just the Lord's. Are you kidding me? It's not the Lord's will. Oh, well, I'm just so sorry to hear about it, honey. No, there's going to be no sorry, honey. It was like, you're going to stand and fight and believe with me or you're not going to know about the situation.
Come on.
That's a faith cocoon. Now, what that isn't is I didn't isolate. That's just stupid, okay? When you go through a battle and you isolate and it's just you and the enemy, that's just dumb. Okay, you'll be taken out every time. We have to surround ourselves with people who believe the word, who believe the truth, who will stand with us. What else did I do? Recently, one of the things I've been doing is I've been sitting on my bedroom floor with this Bible right out in front of me. I'm not going to sit down because it would look awkward getting back up. oh goodness. So I'm sitting on my floor in my bedroom with my Bible open and I've got my prophecies. And I listen to them. Literally, I did this just a few days ago. And a few days before that. And a few days before that. I sat there and I said, Jesus, this is what you said. I listened to my prophecies. I wrote them down. You need to write them down if you haven't. And then I spoke them out loud. I read them out loud so that I could hear them with my own voice, not just the prophet's voice. And I said, Lord, you said this. I'm reading promises from his word. You said this. You said the enemy I'm seeing right now, I shall never see again. Exodus 14:13. Whatever battles in your life, you want to see that enemy one time? Then you better know Exodus 14:13 so that you can stand on it and you can declare it and you can say, the enemy that I'm battling right now, the enemy that I see in my life right now, I will never see you again in Jesus' name. But you can't say that if you don't know it's in here, that it's your promise to stand on. So I'm sitting on the floor in my bedroom. I'm locking the door because every time, do you know, has this happened to you? Every time you want to be with Jesus, like the door, it's just like everybody has to come in. Everybody's going to tell you a story. Everybody wants to talk to you. I love it because I love my people, but I'm like, I just need some time. And then even Max, he's like scratching at the bedroom door, wanting in. I'm like, Max, stop it. We got a war, my friends. We've got to fight to listen to his voice alone, and learn to shut out every other voice, because those voices, the assignment is to kill you, to destroy you, to discourage you, to cause you to give up and give up hope and to stop running the race. And God says, I want you to finish strong, and I want you to have the inheritance that I have for you. Number two, second passage we're going to read here. Deuteronomy. Skip one book over. We were in Numbers. Now go to Deuteronomy chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 19, actually. This is basically a summarized version of Numbers 13 and 14, what we just read. But I'm going to get to another point here. So they departed from Horeb. They went through that all that great and terrible wilderness. They saw the giants. Look, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Here we go again. Here's the land. Go possess it. Don't fear. Send the men. Spy out the land. Take the fruit. Here we go. They come back. Here's the fruit. It's a good land. Verse 26. Deuteronomy 1:26. Nevertheless, you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord. Am I reading the right passage here? Yes. Nevertheless, you would not go up. God said, go take the land. And they're like, mm-mm. We're not going up. We're not going in. We are not going to do it. In order to pass tests, you must rid your heart of rebellion. We must rid our heart of rebellion. If a student rebels in a class, if they say, no thanks, I'm not going to take the quiz. I'm not going to study for the exam. Homework, schmomework, forget it. You know, it's just... Maybe I'll show up. Maybe I won't even show up. They won't pass the class. They'll fail the class. That's rebellion. Rebellion will get them a zero. God told the Israelites to go, and they said no. No is never a good answer, my friends. Yes is always the right response when the Lord speaks. When he asks us, it's yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, Lord. Whatever you say, whatever you want. Yes. No is not the right answer. How often has God told you to do something and you haven't obeyed? Is there something in your life right now that he's asked you to do and you know, I still haven't done it? It's a miserable place to live, I'll tell you that, because I've done it and it's miserable. And if you want to be miserable, then just live in a place of disobedience. Why don't we obey? We rebel. Because of rebellion. We want what we want. We want to do what we want to do. We want to say what we want to say. We want to think what we want to think. We want to judge others how we want to judge others. We want to go where we want to go. And if it doesn't line up with what we want, then we rebel. That's in our sinful, carnal nature. And it's ugly. And it's called rebellion. And you can have, you can put reasons on, well, I'm fearful, I've got a lot of doubt, I'm confused, I need comfort, and that doesn't bring me comfort. I have my reputation, you know, to look at. It doesn't matter. You can give all these excuses of why you're not obeying God, but at the very root of all your excuses is rebellion. At the root of all my excuses, it's rebellion. It's rebellion. Rebellion is in our heart. We rebel against the creator of the universe. It's so crazy. We rebel against the one who holds all things together by the power of his word. We rebel against the one who is faithful and trustworthy forever. We rebel against him. It makes no sense. Two years ago, in August, I was living in sin in my mind, in my heart, and the Lord showed me. He said, you guys, many of you who were here, he showed me, he said, Julie, you have an idol in your heart, and it's the idol of your own understanding. Aren't my ways higher than your ways, Lord? Aren't my thoughts higher than yours? The plans that I have aren't for me, aren't they better than your plans for me and my family, my children? No. They're not, my friends. It's rebellion in our hearts to think that our ways are higher, that we know better than he knows, because we don't. We think too highly of ourselves. Proverbs 3:7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Romans 12:3, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. But rather think of yourself with sober judgment. We could just sit in that, all of us, all week long. Romans 12:3. Lord, forgive me for thinking more highly of myself. Give me some instances, Lord. If you can't think of one yourself, he'll be happy to do that for you. Okay? And then you will get the beautiful opportunity to repent and have some sanctification happen. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to search our hearts. So in order to pass tests, what's number one? Listen to the right voice. Number two, in order to pass tests? Good job, class. And then number three, in order to pass tests, you must remember what he did before. This is Deuteronomy. Same chapter, verses 30 and 31. The Lord your God, this is what he said. Here we go again. I'm recapping here for you. Go take the land I'm going to give you. Look at its fruit. It's rich. Your inheritance is rich. No. Rebellion. No, we're not going to go. Verse 30. The Lord your God who goes before you, he will fight for you. According to all he did for you already in Egypt, right before your eyes, and in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son in all the way that you went until you came to this place. So he's saying, remember. The Lord goes, but he'll fight for you just like he did in Egypt. Just like he did in the wilderness. He's going to fight for you. He's got your back. He's already gone before you. He's got you taken care of. Remember that. In order to pass tests, we must remember what he did before. In your last battle, he fought for you. In the battle before that, he overwhelmed you with his peace. In the battle before that, you felt the comfort of the Lord like you've never felt. In the battle before that, he made himself known to you in a way that you hadn't known before. He came through every single time. He always comes through. It may not be in the way or the time that you want, but he always comes through. He never fails. It's who he is. It's in his very nature. He's a faithful God forever, and he never fails. in Joshua 4. I'm not going to read it, but this is after Joshua led them into the promised land. God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get 12 men again, tell each of them to get a big stone, and I want you to put these stones right here, and I want you to make this memorial to me. I want you to remember, make this a place where you're going to go back and remember, and you're going to take your children back and their children, and all y'all are going to remember what I did, who I am. I'm a mighty God who saves. I delivered you through the Red Sea on dry ground. I delivered you through the Jordan Sea on dry ground. I came for you in provision, and I protected you. I did all these things, and I want you to build this memorial of stones so that you can remember, and your children and their children's children will remember who I am. All of us should have memorials in our lives. Whatever that looks like. For me, it looks like, and you've heard me talk about it, I'm not going to go into it again, but my testimony journals, I'm on year 4. I have 100 testimonies for 3 years written down, and has everything to do with the power and the miraculous power, the faithful nature, the goodness of my God, all those testimonies. And I go back and I read them, and I remember. And I go back and I read them, and I remember, and God's glorified. We're called, in order to pass tests, we have to go back and remember. Lastly, and I'm going to close. The superhero outside of Jesus in this story was Caleb, our man of faith. In Joshua 14, he gets his inheritance. He lived and stood and walked and ate and drank and breathed with thousands and thousands of grumbling people, complaining people, critical spirit, judgmental spirit people, those who accuse God, accuse Moses, accuse Aaron, never happy, never satisfied. Multiple times we want to go back. We want to go back to Egypt. Make us slaves again. This is miserable. Why can't you come through with the water? Why can't you come through with the food? Why is the water bitter? We don't like our leader. Give us somebody else. And again and again and again. And this man lived in the midst of the filth, the wickedness in these hearts. He lived with them for decades. And yet, he remained fully devoted, wholehearted, sold out, committed to the God of this word, the God of this Bible. And because of it, he received his inheritance. Joshua 14. This is Joshua and Caleb are talking. Caleb says to Joshua, you know, remember the word the Lord said to Moses concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea? I was 40 when Moses sent me to Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren, the other 10 who went up with me, made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's inheritance forever, because you've wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am, 85 years old. This is called finishing strong right here, what I'm about to read to you. And this is my prayer. This is our prayer for us, and it's our prayer for all of you. It's God's heart for us, his children, that we finish strong. Amen. Not perfectly, not without trips, not without stumbles, not without failing here or there. But to finish strong. Verse 11. This is Caleb. I am as strong this day as the day Moses sent me out when I was 40. As my strength was then, So now is my strength for war. Both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. I got this. I've taken other mountains. I got this one too. Because I've been sold out to Jesus in the midst of grumbling and complaining, wicked people. I stayed the course. I fixed my eyes on you alone, God, on your word. I refuse to be moved when enemies are all around me, surround me, in the midst of the children of Israel grumbling and complaining. I stayed true to you and your word, and I listened and I heeded to your voice. And I'm as strong today at 85 as I was when I was 40. And I am ready for war. Bring it on.
Yes.
I'll take this mountain that you said is mine. You told me then you're a faithful God forever. You're the same God yesterday as you are today. You never change. You will fulfill, God, all you've said that you'll give me. You'll fulfill it all. And it will not look like you think it will look. It never will look like what you think it will look like. My journey has not looked like what I thought it would look like. It's a million times better. With all the hardships, with all the trials, with all the tests, with all of it, it's a million, gazillion, billion times richer and better than I ever imagined or dreamed it could be. And if you change your vision, yours is too. This Caleb, the last verse. He says, now therefore give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim, the giants were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive these giants out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb as his inheritance. God has an inheritance for every one of you in Him. It's our job to see the tests differently, maybe, than we've seen them before. Embrace the tests. Listen to His voice and shut out all the other voices whose assignment is to destroy you. To ask the Lord to weed out rebellion out of our hearts. To finish strong and receive the inheritance He has for us. So if you don't know the God of this amazing Bible, today you can. And you can know the destiny and the calling and the inheritance that He has for you. And so if that's you today, this is your opportunity to say, Jesus, what an exchange. I get you and a life in you, a rich life in you, in exchange for me giving you my filthy life. So if that's you, I want to pray with you today. And after that, I want to pray for any of you who are battling hopelessness today, that you are weary in the battle. Because there's a spirit, Lord told me, there's a spirit of hope here today that He is going to pour out and impart and wash over and drench over everyone here, no matter where you are. Hope is here today, and His name is Jesus. And He's here, and He wants to overwhelm you with hope for this journey that you can keep battling and keep fighting and keep moving forward to grab hold of all He has for you. Amen? So let's pray. So if you want to give your life to Jesus today, just say, yes, Lord, I want to give you my life. I surrender all. I can't believe that you would give me your life for mine. But I say yes to it. And I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me and wash me. Sanctify me, Lord. And I receive your forgiveness. I receive the washing and the cleansing. And I say yes to you being the Savior of my life and the Lord of my life. And I want to follow you and walk in you all the days of my life in the name of Jesus. And secondly, if you need hope today, if you need a fresh wind of the Spirit of God to breathe upon you today, hope, raise your hands and just cry out and say, God, I need you. I need fresh hope. I need fresh hope. Unbelief brings hopelessness, my friends. Just raise your hands to Jesus. God, we receive a fresh infilling, a baptism of hope today in the name of Jesus by the Spirit of the living God, the God of all hope. Come and wash over your people today in the name of Jesus. We say yes to your hope. We say yes to fortifying our spirits, our souls, our minds, our bodies for this battle. Lord, we receive hope for the journey, for the what's ahead in taking possession, the next thing in our destiny of our inheritance. We receive hope to fortify us, hope to strengthen us right now, God. We receive it and we say thank you for it. And we honor you, the God of all hope today. You're amazing, and we love you in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.